Appreciate Brother Jamie Foxx. He's a blessing to my life. He's the son of Brother Royal Foxx. His son Jason preached last Tuesday night, and God touched him in a special way. And by the way, they had a baby born, and he's back here again tonight. And we're thankful the Lord heard and answered prayer. But he pastors the Mountain Road Baptist Church. I appreciate him helping me here at camp meeting as the co-moderator. I love him. I thank the Lord for him. And I felt like you ought to preach tonight. So you pray for him as he comes. He'll preach to us about 30 minutes.
Yes. I appreciate the atmosphere, don't you? I really do. I appreciate everything in these days that we've had together. This would soon we shatter out. Hallelujah. I thank him for his goodness and mercy shown to my life. I thank him that we're traveling in on grace. And I bless his holy name. I want to do what the Lord's touched my heart to do and get out of the way, but I'm going to try to enjoy it. I get so nervous up here, I can't even think of my name. But I will tell you, the Lord knows how to help you. You're just people in need of a message, and I'm in need of help myself. And I am glad tonight I'm headed somewhere. Not on any of my merits, but what he did for me at Calvary and saving me. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be a part of the blood-bought church. I'm glad I don't have pooch mouth tonight. I'm not playing the fiddle of a sad song, saying we just barely make it. I'm going to tell you we're going to make it. And we're headed that way. And I'm grateful and thankful. I hope your salvation and your faith hadn't got mundane to you. Sometimes you can sit there like a knot on a log and never feel a thing. I was enjoying it. I appreciate it. Matter of fact, where the Holy Ghost is at, I like every bit of it. And sometimes, absolutely, I get the can't help it. And I hope if you've never had the can't help it, that you'd get it. It'll help you, and it will help others. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to give you four thoughts tonight on the great hope of the church. And you know it. You know it. He's coming. He's coming probably sooner than we'd imagine or think. Everything is aligning up, and I don't know when he's coming, but it wouldn't mess up my five calendars that keeps up with me if he had come tonight. I'm telling you one thing, and those people that try to predict it, you can rest assured he ain't coming on that day, whatever day they say. But I will say to you tonight that he is a-coming. And I would be ready for him. We used to play the game hide and seek when I was growing up. We didn't have the gadgets like everybody does today. And we'd be outside hiding, playing and running around, play hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. I will say to you tonight, Christian or unsaved, ready or not, he's a-coming. Be ready for him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul said this, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, I like that word, so to speak. If my students are here, we'd put that one on the board. I will tell you tonight, God has never had a premium on ignorance. Never. Never a premium on ignorance. Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. There's a lot of sorrows on this side. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Amen. You know, it's a funny thing that we can't get together down here. Yeah. But we will get together up there in the air. Amen. I appreciate the togetherness of this camp meeting. Everybody that works, they do it together. The parking of the cars, to the cleaning of the restrooms, to the feeding of all of us. I just like being together. Matter of fact, the Lord did pray that prayer that we would be one. That we would be one. It is so hard. I mean, the world is together, but we ought to love one another enough to be together. Matter of fact, I'll say to you tonight, I need you, and you need me. And I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for how God can help us. We're going to get together with the Lord in the air, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what a great consolation that is, that we'll be forever with Him. There'll be no separations when we get there. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Tonight it's in my heart to be a comfort to you and to encourage you that it's worth the trip. It's dark, and I'm not going to paint any darker picture, but it's getting glorious and has been glorious over there. Paul wrote these words to challenge believers to comfort and encourage one another when loved ones die. That is a part of life. Matter of fact, I will say to you tonight, death is on every one of our trails. It's a sneaking up on us. You say, well, I look real healthy tonight. You can be dead in the morning. I'm telling you, he challenged these believers. Let me challenge every one of us tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God. And you're a believer. It's high time we encourage one another. That's what I like about here. Everybody encourages everybody. As far as I know, I hadn't heard any cussing. As far as I know, I hadn't heard any critiques. It's just been lovely. It's been wonderful. All that I've heard, but I just hear a little bit. I hope there hadn't been any. Because it's high time that we encourage one another and that we love one another, because we're going to be with one another a long time. Amen. Paul was trying to encourage, Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that death is not the end of the story. When Christ returns, all believers, dead and alive, will be reunited, never to suffer or die again. Ain't that a great consolation? In connection with Christ's coming, in this text, there is a sound to hear. There is a sight to see. There is a miracle to feel. There is a meeting to enjoy. And there is a comfort to experience in the text. This is the great hope of the church, to see the Lord and be united with Him forever. I'm going to give you four things tonight on some truths to consider regarding the coming of Christ. The first one is this. I'll say the rapture. Some people get choked up on that word or whatever. It's caught up. It's snatched out. I mean, you can use the rapture or you can use the coming. I'm just telling you, we're going to get gone. I'll tell you that. The first thing in regard to the coming of Christ, that it is a present truth. Amen. Right now, it works. Amen. It is a present truth. Titus said this in chapter 2, verse 13, looking. I'm telling you this much tonight, are you looking? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm glad to be in the family tonight. Headed somewhere. The coming of Christ is a present truth. It'll help you right now, looking for him to come and take his church home. It wouldn't mess us up tonight. It wouldn't mess me up tonight if he'd come. It would mess up the world. It might mess up some of you. I don't know. His glorious arrival, as we await his return, we should never forget the purpose of his first coming. Amen. That of his self-sacrifice. Sacrifice is an absent word in our world. Matter of fact, it's an absent word in a lot of our churches. I'll never forget the first camp meeting. I was just green. I'm gray now, but I'm still green in a lot of things. First camp meeting I preached that, guy invited me to come. There's a doctor speaking in behind me. I was just young. And we got to the parking lot. Dad went with me, and we got to the parking lot. And there's this guy out there, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, the way I judge preachers is how much they sweat. I wished he was here tonight. Because I was absolutely scared to death, and I didn't get fired up enough to sweat, and I didn't preach long enough to sweat, and I said to myself, he's going to think I'm just no good a preacher. Well, let me just tell you tonight, that is no criteria for a good preacher, if he sweats. I'm telling you tonight, it was the Lord's self-sacrifice, and don't get over it as the sister said and so adequately expressed. She hadn't got over it. Some of you act like you have. She hadn't. She's been with God today. I like every bit of that. I could ask you tonight, have you been with him? Has he said anything to you? I'm telling you tonight, there's some truths to consider in regarding the coming of Christ. The first one is the rapture is a present truth. Secondly, the rapture is a positive truth. I'll help all of you people that are against positive thinking. I will tell you, if you begin to think about the rapture and the coming of Christ, that'll help you thinking. It is a positive truth. In a world of negatives, it is a good thing to recall something positive. It is a positive truth in verses 13 through 16. It is connected with the death of the believer. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Aren't you glad? You ought to be able to shout tonight. You say, I don't do that kind of thing. Well, it wouldn't hurt you to try. Because if you have any hope, it is in Christ. Not in anything that you've done, not in your merits, but it wouldn't hurt you to express yourself because we have hope. It is connected with the death of the believer. The rapture is a positive truth. Two reasons why Christians should never grieve like unbelievers. Christians have a revelation from God that gives them hope, and they have a glorious future with Christ. Now, I want to tell you, that's hope. That's blessing. The world don't have that, but the children of God, the church of God, every believer has that. That's why it wouldn't hurt you every now and then just to whoop and say, thank you, Lord, that I have hope in a dark world. It is connected with the death of the believer. It is confirmed by the resurrection of the Savior. For if we believe, I don't know about you, but I'm a believer. I believe. That's how it is. I believe. For if, or you could say for since, We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It is confirmed, the rapture is a positive truth. It's confirmed by the resurrection of the Savior. And it is communicated by the revelation of God. In verse number 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. I want to tell you what that is. That is an authoritative announcement. Have you ever noticed that this world has trouble with authority? There is an authoritative announcement given in verse number 15 by the word of the Lord. I want to tell you what God says is right. I used to say as a young preacher, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Of course, that ain't right. But it sounded good when I was starting out. I want to tell you that God has said it. And it is settled. If you appreciate it, if you like it, if you don't like it, it's settled. God has settled it. And what God has said, it's right. It's right. It is an authoritative announcement. It's communicated by the revelation of the Lord. In verse 15, Christ's return for his saints, it will be announced from heaven. I think everybody's going to know about it. It's going to be announced. Christ's return for his saints will be announced from heaven forcefully and dramatically. Verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's going to be announced from heaven forcefully and dramatically. The rapture of the church, the coming of Christ, is a positive truth. It is a present truth. But I want to remind you tonight that it is a precious truth. Tell you this tonight, I thought about it today, Dad, if we get separated, we'll get together. The reason being is the coming of Christ is a precious truth. It'll help you. The Lord will return. The dead will rise. The church will be raptured. The believers will be reunited to reside forever with the Lord. You know, thinking about the heir, will be in the heir mentioned in the text. There is Satan's spear, Ephesians 2. He's the prince of the power of the air. Read this today, and so this triumphant gathering is in open defiance of the devil right in his own stronghold. I like every bit of that. He ain't coming down. He's going to be in the air. We're going to meet him in the clouds, in the air. I want to tell you tonight, great God Almighty, we're serving a great God. I'm telling you, he's bigger than your mind can think. He's bigger than your mind can comprehend. You start thinking about him, you're liable to blow a fuse. Are you liable to shout? Some of you ought to shout instead of pout. You ought to get in tonight. You ought to rejoice in a Savior that's worth serving and worth living for. And worth going home with. The coming of Christ, it is a precious truth. Lastly tonight, the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, it is a practical truth. You know, have you ever bought anything that didn't work? You thought it was a real nice gadget and it just didn't work out like you thought it was going to do. Matter of fact, I know you have. All of this exercise stuff, they advertise, they show you how it helps you back. And some of you bought it. I know. We have too. They never really work. Let me say tonight, the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church, it's a practical truth. It'll keep you going tomorrow. It'll keep you going next year if time is last. It's a practical truth. You see, it's comforting and cleansing. I worry about these people say, I'm really looking for the Lord and living like hell. I'm talking as a child of God. We ought to get the dirt off of us. We ought to get right with God, right with each other, and get headed in the right direction. Thoughts of the Lord's coming does not produce terror for the believer. It is a hope that thrills and cheers and comforts. We need not despair when loved ones die or world events take a tragic turn, for it is God who will turn our tragedies to triumphs, our poverty to riches, our pain to glory, and our defeat to victory. I said it was Christ. It's not a how-to book. The Bible's a how-to book. You get in the Word of God and you get close to Him, He'll bring you through. All believers throughout history will stand one day reunited in God's very presence, safe and secure. I don't know about you, but I like the practical truth of the coming of Christ. I like the precious truth of the coming of Christ. I like the positive truth of the coming of Christ. And I like the present truth of the coming of Christ. Paul, he comforted the Thessalonians. They were going through a lot. Not a stumped toe. Not a toothache, not an earache, even though I know those things are painful. They were going through affliction. Paul comforted the Thessalonians so should we comfort and reassure one another of this great hope. He is coming, and don't you look forward to the day.